Next presenter is going to be Dr. Don Jones of Cotton Incorporated, and we're going to continue following this theme, using HVI and APHIS to predict spinning performance.
Where's the advance? Page down. Okay. Good morning. I won't repeat the title that Todd just said, but basically I'm using fiber data to predict spinning performance. The objectives of this study were to model spinning performance using primarily HVI and APHIS data. In the HVI data, we've come up with an index called QS, or quality score, and I'll speak a little bit more about that. There's also something provided by Ooster called SCI, which is the spinning consistency index, and since that's available, if you know how to go grab it, I'm going to speak to that parameter as well. I'm also going to second objective was to compare the predictive ability of these models. Obviously, you want it to be a good predictor, not a bad predictor. And lastly, we wanted to determine the consistency of these models across years, varieties, and locations. A good statistician did, not me by the way, performed multiple regression techniques and decided upon a SAS technique called stepwise model building. They check for cross validations for each of the R squares they determine, and they are also correlated fiber parameters, so they considered that in the model as well. The RBTN data, which many of you in the room know what the RBTN is, I used 3 years of data from this trial. There were either three or four entries per year utilized. As Jane mentioned, it's a little tough when you get into spinning test about you have to limit your number of entries. There were 8 to 10 locations per year. There was a common ginning method used. HVI and APHIS was performed at Cotton Incorporated, and then we ring spun 22 singles with a 3.6 twist multiplier. The years are listed there, 06, 07, and 08. The entries are listed under each of those. I'll note there's one variety in common between the 3 years, FiberMax 958. Actually, SureGrow 105 was in common between two of the years. I tried to select varieties in each year, which gave me what I expected to be a wide range of fiber quality performance. I was more successful certain years than others, but the locations shown on this slide are from 2008. This is just representative of what you'd have in the RBTN. So we're testing this material across a fairly wide area. In 08, it went from Dr. Campbell's location in Florence all the way out to Dr. Zhang's location out in Las Cruces and the places in between. That's fairly representative of what we had of each year. Varies around a little bit, but not a whole lot. As I mentioned, Andy Knowlton at the University of Georgia and his staff performed the uniform ginning of this material each year. I also mentioned the HVI and APHIS was performed at Cotton Incorporated. We spun the yarn, and the yarn testing was performed there in Cary as well. These are all familiar to all of you all. These are the HVI parameters, you know, that you look at: upper half mean, micronair, uniformity index, strength. Also, HVI provides RDN plus B and a short fiber content. The quality score, which I've reported on in previous belt wides, is composed of those top four HVI parameters, and we assign certain coefficients to come up with a quality score. The spinning consistency index uses those same four, and it adds RDN plus B. Now, so keep that in mind, because that comes up later on. You're using the SCI adds two components, and the coefficients are different, and I can't separate the effect of those right now. But and also listed last is the short fiber content, which HVI provides. There's a little bit more detail on what the quality score and the SCI might be a little busy. the difference between the first line QS and QS alternate, all I've done is weight uniformity index higher, and in weighting that higher, I took that coefficient from the uniformity index. I mean, upper half mean is my, yeah. I reduced this from 0.5 to 0.3, and I increased uniformity index from 0.15 to 0.35. I play around with these coefficients in a fairly amateurish way. I'll show you some data where there's a more professional way to do this. Also listed at the end is the spinning consistency index. That shows the y-intercept and the various coefficients they use. They're completely different. They weight fiber strength much, much higher than I weight fiber strength. But that's how each of those are calculated. The APHIS parameters are ones Dr. Deaver previously mentioned, many of those. Upper quartile length by weight and by number, short fiber content measured various ways. Or reported various ways, fineness, NEPs, and there's other characters as well. And these, the spinning traits I'm going to report on are these five. The first two are yarn strength measures. That adjusted break factor is a skein of yarn. It's just a wad of yarn versus the RKM is a single piece of yarn. I'll note that both of those measures are taken, there's multiple reps of data for every data point. So our error bar for each data point gets to be fairly narrow. The last three are thins, thicks, and neps, and those are commonly utilized yarn parameters. Now to the data. What I'm going to list here on the next couple of slides is along the from left to right is those five factors, adjusted break factor and RKM, and then thins, thicks, and neps. And what I've done, or the statistician done, performed was a regression of or a predictive value for quality score and how well it predicts these. As you note there, the R squares are much lower than I would have liked, having put 4 or 5 years of work into this. This was fairly humbling, but breeders are used to being humbled. If I changed it and instead looked at the alternate version of that quality score, and recall the difference between the alternate and the other was just the weighted the uniformity index much, much higher. In essence, the R-square values don't change at all, so it didn't have much of an effect. Next, we looked at the variables, those four variables in quality score, and use had SAS run a lot of iterations to determine what would be the best coefficient a program could come up with to maximize the R-square value. So that's what that the QS variables are. So those R-squares are where the quality score is, the coefficients are not set, but they're in essence maximized or chosen by SAS that would maximize the R-square value. What this tells me is I've probably got the wrong coefficients in the quality score if I want to predict spinning performance. At a minimum, we've increased about 5x in terms of our R-square. Next, I've highlighted the SCI because to me that's the best comparator between I've left quality score and SCI. You see the R-square values for each of the five yarn traits have each gone up. Recall the SCI, what we've done is in that index they've added RD and plus B. The reason I originally did not put RD and plus B in the quality score is breeders normally think of those as influenced a lot by environment and less so by genetics. That's the reason we left it out, because the whole idea with the quality score was to come up with the index breeders could utilize. But obviously by adding those variables you increase your fit a little bit, substantially. If you look at the variables in SCI, that's the six variables in SCI, and let SAS calculate its own coefficients, obviously the R-square values go up fairly substantially. That's the power of what a powerful statistical program can do. And recall what I want to emphasize here is that the differences, for instance, under adjusted brake factor of 0.7 and 0.54, we can't separate out right now. There's different coefficients between those, and you're adding two more variables. Keep that in mind. But obviously, adding those two variables adds to your fit. If I chose all variables that are provided by HVI, and I let SAS calculate the coefficient, you notice there's virtually no difference between the last line, the HVI variables, and the SCI variables for each of those R squares. What this is saying was basically when you put in the short fiber content as provided by HVI, you really don't get a better R-square fit. Those R-squares are virtually the same across the board. Now, if we go do the same thing and allow SAS to grab the or calculate the best coefficient using APHIS, the various APHIS traits, our R-squares go up across the board except for thins, and I don't have a good explanation for that. But out of four of the five traits, the fit has gone up. So there is a cost in performing APHIS. APHIS is both slower and costly. So you would assume that you would pick up some predictive value, but it comes at a cost. This is a series of slides that show the consistency of the fit. So the first line, again, across the top is the same traits, and all I've listed is whether it's significant or non-significant for each of the I'll split this out by locations, varieties, and years. You notice the HVI model by location of the five traits, three you have significance. As a breeder, that should concern you. You might not want to use the model, or maybe you want to change your locations you're testing at. But there is some weakness in the model. If we look at the HVI model by variety, again, you've dropped one of the traits from being significant to non-significant for RKM, but it reverses for the adjusted brake factor. But what I want to show you next is the HVI model by year. There's much less interaction across years when we use this predictive model. So that's not surprising from what I've experienced in looking at fiber data over the past 4 or 5 years. What I'm going to do show here is the APHIS model by location and compare it to the HVI model by location at the upper line. You've eliminated sources of variation by using that APHIS model. So that would probably be better if you're going to try to use a predictive model across locations. The same thing, comparing HVI to APHIS, APHIS has less interaction. Again, somewhat what we might expect. This is the one that kind of throws me. I picked up more significant interaction with my APHIS model by year than I did with the HVI model by year. I don't know, we haven't been able to tease apart exactly what's going on there. So the questions that kind of linger out there in our future plans, obviously I think I need to tweak the coefficients. Recall when we use this, calculated an R-square for that QS on the top line there, those R-squares are quite low. But if we allow SAS to calculate other coefficients, the R-square values come up considerably. So that's one thing we're working on to tweak these coefficients, which are fairly easy to do. The other things we're looking at is the nature of those interactions by year and variety and by location. As I said, we test across a large environmental influence. I mean, growing cotton in Lubbock, Texas is obviously different than what you might have in Tifton. We might expect there to be a fair amount of interaction there. Another item that we're looking at in 2010 is to use to test the predictive value of these models on larger data sets, specifically the national variety test that Dr. Meredith mentioned earlier. He has multiple varieties over three decades, And we can look at that, and he does have HVI and spinning data. We don't have APHIS, but we could use that, and that data, from that data set, maybe change our model even more and make it a little bit better predictive. And last, what I've mentioned is, since APHIS is obviously more expensive than HVI, we could put a cost factor into our model, knowing it's both costlier and slower. And again, you'd have to have a coefficient there, but it may be able to give you an idea on when to use HVI versus APHIS. I want to thank Dr. William Bridges, who's on the faculty at Clemson, and his PhD student, Elizabeth Crouch, the RBTN cooperators who sent me all this lint. Many of you all are in this room, and the Cotton Incorporated fiber staff and the processing people that generate this data for me. If I was somewhat concerned about the low R-square when I looked at that first line of data, but I think the next slide will sum up my feelings about any tool. I came across this quote last year: imperfect tools are a real pain, but they sure beat pounding nails with your teeth. So I thought that was applicable to my efforts the last 4 or 5 years. So I'm concluded. If you have any questions, I'll be happy to entertain a question.
One question out there.
SAS would right. Yes. Correct. Well, when I looked at the quality score variables, I only used those four variables. If I looked at, I had a line on there that said HVI variables. That's all of the variables available from HVI. What I'm hoping to do is increase the predictive value, and if we need to add a variable, it's easy to add a variable in the quality score.
You essentially have a different Q factor now.
Well, I think we can make an improved quality score if we are trying to predict yarn performance.
To Ted's question, SAS didn't drop any coefficients to zero.
I haven't looked at those coefficients. I don't know.
Okay, thank you, Don.